The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Thank you for joining this podcast. This podcast is brought to you by Good Ranchers. If you're interested, you want more information, go to goodranchers.com/Tatum to get more information.
This is the Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen and ladies, welcome back. Welcome back. I'm so excited for you guys to be with me one more again. Where I was growing up, it's called One More Again. But there is a tremendous decision from the Supreme Court justice, from the Supreme Court of the United States of America. Let me rephrase that. There was a great decisions from at least six of the Supreme Court justices passing down advisory methods. When I say advisory methods, I mean direction as to how to treat the Second Amendment, specifically the way New York State has treated the Second Amendment, proving from Clarence Thomas and others, that New York's restrictions on the Second Amendment is out of control. Let me just give you an example of one caveat to gun ownership in New York State. According to laws in New York State, you have to provide a reason for you to carry a gun, meaning you go to a gun store to buy a gun. A part of your evaluation on whether or not you are capable, culpable of handling a firearm is that you have to then provide them a reason why you should be able to carry a firearm. And then they have discretion to deny your reasoning. And home self-defense, according to New York State law, isn't enough for you to be able to carry a gun. So if you go and you say, hey, I live in a high crime area, there's thuggery, I was going to say thugs, but there's thuggery outside of my door every day. People have been robbed in my community. I'm coming to you, although God has granted me the gift, granted me the right to keep and bear arms, I'm coming to you as a citizen of the state, say, please, may I have a gun to defend myself? And according to New York State law, that's not enough. If the person making the decision, the state making the decision, or acting official on behalf of the state making the decisions, decide that that's not enough for you, you can't own a gun. You can't have a gun license. You know how ridiculous that is? I don't know how people have withstood that from the test of time. According to a Fox article, it says the Supreme Court Thursday ruled 6-3 that New York's regulations that made it difficult to obtain a license to carry a concealed handgun were unconstitutionally restrictive, and that it should be easier to obtain what we could consider a license. Now, let me make sure I'm correct on this. I believe they're specifically referring to concealed carry license. Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas, which I think he's an absolute hero. He should go down a hero as one of the greatest men to ever live. There's a lot of people that I think should be greatest men to ever live that will never get a statue anywhere because they're conservative. But Clarence Thomas has been upholding the Constitution and being a real, true freedom fighter in the Supreme Court. Now, I'm only old enough to remember Clarence Thomas because I studied Africana studies in college, and he's been doing an incredible job since I've been involved in politics, which is over the last, 5 years that I've been involved. But I think Clarence Thomas has done a tremendous thing. I want to read directly from this Fox News article because I think it's imperative that we get all of the facts straight, and I'm just going to read it straight from the article. It says the existing standard requirements required an applicant to show proper cause for seeking a license and allowed New York State or New York officials to exercise discretion in determining whether a person has shown a good enough reason for needing to carry a firearm, stating that one wished to protect themselves or their property was not enough. In this case, petitioners and respondents agreed that ordinary law-abiding citizens have a similar right to carry handguns publicly for their self-defense. We too agree, and this is coming down from the decision, that we too agree and now hold a consistent with Heller and McDonald, which are both cases that were ruled, that the Second Amendment, the Second and Fourth Amendment, protect an individual's right to carry a handgun for self-defense outside of the home. Clarence Thomas wrote in the court opinion, referring to the previous two gun cases, because the state of New York issued public carry license only when an applicant demonstrates a specific or special need for self-defense, we conclude that the state's licensing regimen violates the Constitution. And I agree with their opinion. And I think this is a huge win, because if this pretty much sets precedent that any other restrictions that states are imposing that violates the Constitution of the United States of America, or that's not acted in good faith according to the Constitution of the United States of America, will not be tolerated. It is very simple and simply put in plain language, in my opinion. Clarence Thomas said it in this article from Fox News, that keep and bear arms are very clear. To keep arms, meaning in your own personal property, to keep it, to have it in your possession, at your house, to store them, whichever way you want to articulate it, and to bear arms means to carry a gun. So the Constitution gives us the right, or it explains our rights to the government, that we shall be able to keep and bear arms, and that keeping and bearing of arms shall not be infringed. That means if I want to have guns at my house or at my guest house or at my vacation house or in the storage unit, I have a right to keep arms. If I decide to travel from my house to another house to a store to all of the above, I have the right to bear arms. I have a right to carry it on my person. Why? To defend myself. And there's another caveat to this that New York tried to push through, and I want to make sure that I get the terminology right. I think I'm going to find it here in a second. But what they were trying to do is violate your constitutional rights under a specific clause. And let me find that clause. Okay, sensitive place law. So a sensitive place, right? So according to many states, and according to the Constitution of the United States of America and a ruling from the Supreme Court, is that you can have certain restrictions on what they would call sensitive places, right? You can't bring a gun into a bank. You can't carry a gun into a courthouse. You know, you may not be able to carry a gun into a place where I think is the stupidest thing in the world, what they would consider to be a gun-free zone. There are certain sensitive places that a particular state officials can require that a gun not be taken to. In some cases, for obvious reasons. Other cases, I think it's absolutely stupid. However, the state of New York wanted to deem that every place that people literally gather and congregate is a sensitive place. And that's just completely asinine. And I'm going to read the quote. I believe this is from Clarence Thomas. I'm just going to read the quote anyway. It says, we do think respondents error in their attempt to characterize New York's proper cause requirement as a sensitive place law. Thomas wrote, it's from Clarence Thomas, explaining that New York viewed sensitive places as anywhere where people typically congregate and where law enforcement and other public safety professionals are presumably available. Presumably available. So if you think that, let's put this in perspective real quick. Presumably available, which means that if you are in a subway area, or you are in a grocery store, or you in a grocery store parking lot, places where people congregate, in many cases, cops are not present. Unless you have a certain permit or unless there's a big enough crowd of a specific event, cops are not present. But they want you in New York State because they don't care about your life. They care about restricting your freedoms with control and power. That you should leave your life in the balance to presume, in theory, that a cop is going to be there. How did that work out in Buffalo, New York? There was a presumption? It wasn't presumed to me. It was nothing but a security guard, and he took some to the chest in his fight to defend other people. But it wasn't enough, if you ask me. You listen to the Officer Tatum Show. Hold the phone.
The Officer Tatum Show.
Summer grilling is upon us, and if you're looking for a perfect cut to put on a grill this year, look no further. Good Ranchers is the place to get American beef, chicken, and seafood this summer. They sell 100% American meat shipped to your front door, and right now, they're giving away two free 18-ounce prime center cut ribeyes to every person that use my code Tatum. That's over 2 pounds of prime ribeye steak at no cost to you. With Father's Day coming up and all the summer events, this is a perfect time to try a box of Good Ranchers. You can make a one-time purchase or subscribe and save $25 off every box. Plus, you'll get two free 18-ounce boneless ribeyes. Other places will charge you well over $50 a steak to get ribeyes like these. But Good Ranchers is giving them to you for free when you go to goodranchers.com/Tatum. This is a limited stock item. Right now, go to goodranchers.com/Tatum and use my code Tatum at the checkout and get your two free 18-ounce ribeyes. Start the summer off right with Good Ranchers. American meat delivered. Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen and ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I got a special guest that's going to be joining me fairly soon. We got to get the audio and stuff all figured out. But Amy Swearer, I believe that's how you say her name, and I think she testified before Congress in such an epic fashion. I hope she'll correct me if I'm wrong. But I have her with me. She's worked with the Heritage Foundation. She is an expert on the Second Amendment, gun legislation, all of the above. So, Amy, let's have a conversation about what happened today from the Supreme Court justice and how that is a victory for the Second Amendment.
Hey, well, thank you so much for having me. Yeah, so this was a fantastic opinion. It was largely expected. I think even the states who had their law struck down saw this coming. But essentially what happened was the Supreme Court for the first time affirmed that the Second Amendment means exactly what it says, that there is a right not just to keep, but to bear arms, including for ordinary citizens in public for self-defense, which sounds redundant. Yeah, that sounds very obvious. But New York and a couple of other states have for a long time required that ordinary citizens show what they call good cause to carry a gun in public. It's a very burdensome requirement that essentially means most ordinary New Yorkers, and it's the same thing in Hawaii, a lot of places in California, New Jersey, don't have the right that the rest of us do to carry guns in public for self-defense, because the government essentially says, no, we don't think you are sufficiently scared enough. We don't think you are too likely to be a victim of crime. So, you know, too bad, so sad. You're probably not going to be a victim of crime, so you don't get a gun in public. Again, that sounds absurd, but here we are. And that is the type of law that the Supreme Court struck down today and said is unconstitutional. It violates those individual Second Amendment rights. And going forward, states like New York cannot require that showing of good cause anymore.
Amy, I want to get this right. Didn't you go, weren't you in a viral video testifying before Congress on these same issues?
So I've testified before Congress a number of times, including once back in 2019 on the ban on so-called assault weapons, but then more recently on some more gun legislation on the heels of some of these mass shootings. But this has been things that I will testify in front of Congress to, or to anybody who will listen, about the importance of the Second Amendment and ensuring that it is upheld instead of undermined by states like New York.
1,000%. I'm sure that was you in those viral videos. So people, Amy Swearer, all you have to do is look her up. She does an incredible job explaining this with great detail and great poise. because it's not easy to give a testimony before Congress, especially a liberal Congress. I had to testify before Congress. We ended up doing it on a Zoom call, and it was ridiculous. You know, you get on there, you try to talk, and then they ask you all these ridiculous questions. But I want to continue down this path. When it comes to the new, I would say, gun restrictions that have been passed, I believe, from the Senate, and is going up the chain, I believe, to be signed by the President of the United States, those restrictions, that 80-page document that they released, I believe, yesterday or the day before yesterday, will this come into conflict with our Constitution, and will we see a ruling similarly from the Supreme Court justice?
Yeah, well, there are certainly some concerns with this bill. I will say there are some good things about this bill in terms of funding in school safety, but there are some concerns. The biggest of which is that this bill seems to be able to fund what are known as red flag laws at a state level. In some of these red flag laws, you know, it's hard to tell. The language is very convoluted in this bill. But it seems like it could be used to fund laws that are patently unconstitutional, that don't have sufficient due process standards. And so essentially, you're going to see gun owners in states that don't have these laws having to fund these laws to trample on the constitutional rights of other gun owners in other states. And that's a very real risk that is involved with this bill, as well as some other risks in terms of, you know, delaying the process for law-abiding young adults to purchase firearms, you know, having to go back and comb through their records. So there are some serious concerns. You know, the problem is, realistically, you know, you look at the court case that the Supreme Court just handed down. It's only their third Second Amendment case ever.
Wow. Amy, yeah, I'm going to have to just hold on 1 second. I want to bring you back in our next segment. We're getting ready to run out of time. I want you to finish your thought. Amy Swearer, ladies and gentlemen, work with the Heritage Foundation, expert on gun laws and gun legislation. We're going to have her back in the next segment. Hold the phone. You're listening to The Off-State Show. Ladies and gentlemen, yours truly and MyPillow are offering a buy one, get one extravaganza on multiple MyPillow products. Now's the time to join millions of Americans who have changed the quality of their sleep with MyPillow. Right now, buy one, get one free pricing on MyPillow bed sheets, Giza Elegance MyPillows, six-piece towel sets, and roll and go anywhere MyPillows. Just go to the radio listener specials page at MyPillow.com and use promo code TATUM or call 800-976-8379. Don't miss this incredible opportunity to buy one, get one free on select items. You will also receive Mike's book absolutely free with any purchase. Call 1-800-858-0263 or go to the Radio Listener Specials page at MyPillow.com. Use promo code TATUM.
Brandon Tatum, unafraid to tell it like it is.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I believe my guest is still here. We still have Amy here.
He's still here.
Yes, Amy Swearer, ladies and gentlemen, with the Heritage Foundation. She's a expert. I call her expert. She's very proficient in the way she explained gun legislation, gun laws. And I really appreciate you, Amy, for coming on. I want to continue our conversation about gun laws, gun legislation, and specifically red flag laws. Rand Paul had made mention that there's a lot of constitutional errors that could be exploited in the red flag laws pertaining to due process, anonymous accusations that could be made against a person and causing them to lose their right to keep and bear arms. Can you continue this conversation by explaining your thoughts on red flag laws and why they could be a very dangerous thing?
Yeah, so I mean, they start with this sort of nugget of good and truth, right? Which is that nobody wants someone who is actively dangerous to themselves or others to have access to firearms. The problem becomes how these laws are written in practice. When you look at the 20 or so states that have passed this, all of these laws, as they exist now, suffer from at least a number, in some cases far more than just a couple, of very serious due process concerns. You know, you referenced Senator Paul, and some of the concerns that he has. And I think those are all correct. You know, you want to make sure that you're not allowing unfounded accusations to be used against people. You want a plethora of due process, that, you know, the same sorts of due process that we have for things like mental health civil commitments. Ensuring that people have hearings before their guns are taken, or that if it is some emergency situation, they're not having to wait 14, 21, you know, 21 days, you know, 4 weeks to get a hearing, but that they're getting that hearing immediately. You know, you look at the way that states have defined what is or is not a threat, and sometimes it's not always clear, you know, what is dangerous and what isn't. And there are concerns that you will have people who get caught up in the red flag laws simply because, you know, they have a MAGA hat and, you know, an NRA sticker on the back of their truck, and their neighbor just doesn't like them. In fact, we've seen a case already sort of like this out of Maryland, where it took this individual 11 months before a judge finally said, this is absurd. You're not dangerous. We never should have taken your guns in the first place. So I think that's the very real fear, is how these laws have been crafted in practice. And I think when you look at the legislation that's coming out of the Senate, it doesn't do a good job of ensuring that any funds that go to states that want these laws are based on them having minimum acceptable standards of due process. It's, you know, you read a couple paragraphs and it just seems like this word salad, where you're like, what does this mean? And that's a problem, because people should know what it is their funds, their taxpayer money are going to fund.
I think that's an incredible take on this whole thing, because the rule and the responsibility from Congress is not to be emotional, not to make judgment based on what they feel. They are supposed to make judgment based on what is aligning with the Constitution of the United States of America. Their goal is to push legislation without violating people's rights. And I think that they are not doing a good job at this, given the fact that they're using the emotional appeal of children that have been killed in Uvalde, Texas, and they're using that to push legislation. And Republicans, which they normally would stand up for constitutional rights, some Republicans decided to join forces, even though this bill isn't foolproof. I mean, what's your thoughts on that? Like, it is not foolproof, and they let it out anyway.
Yeah, and I understand, right? There is a sense in which compromises is part of the legislative process. But the problem becomes when those compromises are things that risk the constitutional rights of American citizens. That's something that this bill unfortunately does. And like I said, there are some good aspects to this about mental health funding and school safety. But unfortunately, you have to balance that with the very real risks that come, not just with the red flag laws, but with some of the new bureaucratic regulations that could hamper the ability of law-abiding young adults to get firearms and those sorts of things. Those are problems, and those are not things that can be compromised on. And unfortunately, again, I think that's what this bill does when you look at it as a whole.
Now, Amy, I you guys are listening to Amy Swearer, a Heritage Foundation person who is extremely smart and intelligent and well versed on all of these constitutional issues and firearm safety, and also gun laws. Let me say gun laws specifically. What is your thoughts? Then this is a personal opinion, and I know that you can apply the Constitution to this as well. But when domestic violence happens, this is one I battle with a lot. So a man beats up a woman. I mean, pretty much beats her pretty badly, and they go and take his guns from him because she's been able to secure a restraining order against him, or just say he went to jail and he was convicted of domestic abuse. What's your thoughts on that person losing his rights to keep and bear arms?
Yeah. Well, I think there is absolutely a constitutional and historically constitutional way of saying, yes, look, someone who is objectively a danger to either themselves or to another person in a very real and imminent sense, which would include violent felons. It would include, you know, people who are sitting there going, I'm going to shoot up a school, or who are violent against their significant others. Yes, there is a sense in which the government has a duty and also the authority to, for the sake of the public safety, to ensure that that person doesn't have access to firearms. I think one of the problems that comes up is the ways in which we hold people's actions against them in perpetuity, right, that a lot of these individuals will, especially if they're convicted under federal law, will never get their rights restored to them, even if 20 years later, you know, they're sitting there and they've been, they're no longer dangerous. They're upstanding citizens. You know, it just becomes so hard for them to get their rights back. And I think that leads to this bigger problem where Americans just largely don't trust that when the government takes away their guns, that it's for a good reason or a sufficient reason, or that, you know, they're going to ever be able to get their rights back, because we already don't see that. This is already part of the problem. It is just a sort of broad approach to how we treat, you know, allegedly dangerous people. And so why would they trust that, you know, in these more intermediate things like red flag laws, where they say, well, you're dangerous, why would they trust that they're also going to get their rights back?
Amy, you're 100% right. Amy Swery, ladies and gentlemen, y'all need to go follow her on social media. Watch all of her content. Amy, thank you so much for coming on. God bless you. We'll talk to you later.
This is the Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen, ladies, welcome back. Listen to the Officer Tatum Show. I'm your host, Brandon Tatum. Follow me on social media at The Officer Tatum. And if you want to download the podcast, please download the podcast at theofficertatum.com, my website. All of that good stuff is right there in a convenient place for you to find it. Now, I want to pivot to politics real quick. And I don't know if you live in the state of Arizona, but if you are an Arizonan, Carrie Lake is a rock star. I'm just saying, I've met her before. I met her husband. I've endorsed Carrie Lake. I've done many events. I've been around her. I had her on just the other day to explain some fake news media trying to push propaganda against her. And I'm going to have her on again. Why do I support Carrie Lake? Because she works harder than any person in politics I have ever seen. Only Donald Trump maybe can rival Carrie Lake in how hard she worked. And I would argue, if I had to default, I think Carrie Lake is more active than Donald Trump was. Every single place I've ever seen someone running for office, Carrie Lake is there. Every single community event, Carrie is there. Every single debate, Carrie is there. I can't imagine these others being there. I don't see them. Sometimes they don't even show up for some of the debates. One time, Carrie was the only one out of the major candidates to show up to a debate. They punked out. Now, why would they do that? Because Carrie Lake is a boss. And I want you to hear her destroy a CNN reporter. Let me just preface this before you hear it and before you see it. I have never in my life seen someone take an L this bad to a political candidate. Roll the clip.
Hi,
Harry.
Hi.
Nice to see you.
You don't have a mask on anymore. What's going
we're
on?
Outside.
Aww.
Do you have a minute to chat?
Well, we're 6 feet apart.
Do you have a minute to chat?
I'll do an interview.
Okay.
As long as it airs on CNN Plus. Does that still exist? Yeah. I didn't think so, because the people don't like what you guys are peddling, which is propaganda. Thank you.
Someone please call 911.
I don't know. See, the visual is much better. I don't know if you guys could see what was happening. Carrie Lake is walking up to an event. I'm talking to this, speaking this or explaining this for the people that's on the radio. Carrie Lake is walking up to, it appears that she's going to an event. She has like her campaign people with her. And this reporter, she's an Asian reporter that Carrie Lake has dealt with in the past. And the reason I'm saying this is because there's a clip that's in that clip that shows their previous confrontation when the girl had a mask on and her and Carrie Lake had a discussion. But anyway, Carrie is walking. This girl pops up out of the crowd. And Carrie shakes her hand, and she said, wow, you don't have a mask on. And the girl says, I'm outside. And then Carrie grabs her and says, well, we're not 6 feet apart. You know what I'm saying? Like, what's the point of the virtue signaling of masks is beyond me. But then after she shakes her hand, she proceeds to talk to her about CNN Plus. And if you guys don't
I'll
know
do
what CNN Plus is.
As long as it airs on CNN Plus.
CNN Plus.
I didn't think so, because the people don't like what you guys are peddling.
CNN Plus was an online, kind of like Fox Nation. It was like, it's kind of like an online news, campaign that they had or whatever. And it's an app that they had some of their people on, and they wanted to make it big. But you know, nobody's really watching CNN. It's all bullcrap. So I think that thing lasted 30 minutes, and they shut the whole program down. And so it's been a meme. It's been a joke for the longest that CNN Plus didn't last longer than, you know, one of J-Lo's marriages. Let me not say that. But CNN Plus was out of there, right? So she asked her intentionally about CNN Plus, and then she'll do an interview. But then she said, oh, it's not around because people don't watch you guys and don't want to follow your propaganda. And the girl literally had nothing else to say. She was what we call speechless because she just got drugged. And I wanted to call the police when I saw that video because I thought I witnessed the murder. But I let Wyclef John say it for me. But I just wanted to throw that out there. I wanted people to hear Carrie Lake because I think she's tremendous. And Arizona needs a person who's not a coward. Now, you know Doug Ducey, and I met Doug Ducey before. He gave me his personal number. I think he was because I'm black and he was trying to get some leverage, or he wanted to, if a black man want to contact me, that whole thing. That's what I thought it was, to be quite honest. I ain't call him. I almost called him because he was cutting up in the state of Arizona when the restrictions were going on, and he did nothing to defend first responders in the state of Arizona. As far as I'm concerned, if I'm wrong, somebody correct me. He did nothing to protect first responders from getting a jab, and not just getting a jab, but getting fired if you don't want to get the jab. He did nothing. And if you ask me, he's lukewarm, right? He's a lukewarm. You know, like lukewarm Christians. He's lukewarm. He's in the middle. I don't want you in the middle. I want you to be radical. And people may not like me saying this, but I want you to be radical. Being in the middle, there's no more time for that. Being in the middle got us Joe Biden. Being in the middle got Trump impeached twice. We need people that are going to be radical. Now, not radical in our terms, because we know this is called common sense, but radical in the terms of the left. No, we want people that says you have the right to pray in schools. I want a politician to say, we will ban abortions. Complete ban. Complete. Now, a woman's medical emergency situation has nothing to do with an abortion. That's a medical emergency for a woman. I say complete ban. No, then we'll meet. Then after 20 years, we'll meet y'all back in the middle. But we need a strong, strict change in our country. Law and order. Stop and frisk needs to be re-implemented. Three strikes laws need to be re-implemented. If we don't have space in the prisons, build a new prison. You cannot commit multiple felonies as an adult and think you're going to be out terrorizing the public. It's unacceptable. If you kill a police officer, intentionally kill a police officer, you should be put to death. Then once they go through the appeal process, which they should do a speedy appeal process, you should be first on the list to get an appeal. If your appeal don't go through and they find with unequivocal evidence that you attempted to murder or you had intent to murder a police officer and you follow through with it in a case of an ambush or whatever the case may be, you should be put to death that weekend after your appeal. There will be no more people on death row after appeals if I had control. If you're on death row, meaning that we have decided that you are going to be put to death, you ain't finna be in prison for 30 years. As soon as your last appeal is over, you're going straight down there, like from the appeal, right to the chair, or the table, or the firing squad, whichever one is quicker for you. I'm sick of us being we so passive in our country, and I don't even think that's a big ask. We either do away with death penalty or we actually do the death penalty. And it's not even that hard. If you feel like that's inhumane, then do away with it. But we shouldn't be spending taxpayer dollars to put food in the mouth of a person that we're supposed to put to death a long time ago. I think pedophilia, if you get caught in pedophilia, that's a life sentence. You molest a child? I think you should be put to death, but somebody want to meet me in the middle, you should get life. Why? Because that kid don't get their life back. No, you know, you don't get to be free anymore. There's no reason in the world that anybody should be funneling kids. They're the innocent little kids we're supposed to put our lives on the line to protect. Every time I see a kid, I think in my mind, I'll die for that kid. That little kid right there, I will die for them. And I will kill a person who harms that kid in protecting that child's life. I would protect that child's life at all costs. Maybe I'll say it that way. And I'm not trying to be crazy and talking about I'm going to kill somebody. But if it's to protect the child's life and that child cannot protect themselves, then I will do what I have to do. And that may end up being the use of deadly force. The young and the vulnerable amongst us is who we need to protect. As a man, I feel almost the same way about women. There's no way in the world I could watch a man beat up a woman right in my face. Now, let me explain. I'm really about that life. I can fight. I got a gun, all of that stuff. If you ain't built for this, you better call the police. I don't want to get nobody beat up and killed trying to defend a woman who's going to end up going back to him next week. So just keep that in mind. You listen to the Officer Tatum Show. Call in 844-900-7243. Catch you after the break.
You don't have a mask on anymore. What's going on?
Brandon Tatum, unafraid to tell it like it is.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I have a story for you. Come on, y'all, say it with me. Racist. We rarely see racism in America, but my God.
Because you are a racist.
This person ain't going to be able to live this one down, ladies and gentlemen. A major insurance company or major insurance companies terminated their relationship with a main insurance agency after it allegedly displayed a racist sign about Juneteenth holiday earlier this week. A photo taken Monday, which the Communist News Network has obtained, shows a sign taped to the inside window of the Harry E. Reid Insurance Company in Millinocket, Maine. Now, before we get to the story, have you ever heard of Millinocket, Maine? Well, you know what? We did our research. Millinocket, Maine got 4,000 people in it. And 90%+ are white people. And the only black person in the city took a picture of this fried chicken and collard green sign. So let me read you what the sign say. Juneteenth. At the very top of the sign, and then it says, and you can see it here if you're watching on TV, Juneteenth, and then it goes down and it says, it's whatever. And then below that, it says, we're closed. And then below that, it says, enjoy your fried chicken and collard greens.
Damn!
Now, before I got mad at what this sign says, I actually got hungry because I love fried chicken and collard greens, especially if grandma cook it. When my grandma cook it, is off the chain. But the young lady comes out. I don't know if this is a young lady or not. It says the person who said they posted the sign issued an apology on Facebook, writing in part on the company's page. I am so sorry for any pain I have caused and the negative attention I have brought to our beautiful company. I don't want to hear it. You only sorry because you got in trouble. It is unacceptable. I don't understand what crack cocaine this person was smoking. I'm presuming that they were white. What if they were black? Now, that'd be even funnier. But we're presuming that they're white because if they were black, nobody would be talking about this. No, let me take that back. This story is being reported on CNN. I really want to know if this person is black or white. More than likely, they're white. But it is not acceptable in no way, form, or fashion for a person to make a statement like this. There's no way around this being a racial sign being posted. You put Juneteenth, you dismiss Juneteenth and say it's whatever. And then you talk about fried chicken and collard greens. And everybody on planet Earth know black people love fried chicken and collard greens exclusively in some areas. However, I hope this person gets fired. They should fire this person if they own this place. I hope nobody go to this place for insurance unless this lady actually come out and make an apology to their patrons, which email on a Facebook post ain't enough. You need to be apologizing to people that come to your business. And if you don't apologize, now let me say this. I don't believe in canceling people. I believe in a free market. So if you don't apologize, people understand that you made some racist comments, then they shouldn't shop with you. Why would they shop with you? I don't shop with racist people. So, you know, I just had to throw that out there and let you guys know about this. You know, it's unacceptable. There's no way around making an excuse for this. You knew when you typed it up that you were going to say something racist against black people. But let's get to the real point here. Does this sign affect the life of any black person on planet Earth? The answer, ladies and gentlemen, ding, 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 no. What does a sign, now some black person somewhere is crying right now because of this sign. It has zero effect on the lives of black people. That's the beauty of living in the United States of America. Racism will get you messed over. Racism can go only as far as a sign in a window that they end up losing business for. It doesn't affect the individual unless you're weak. Unless you're weak and you soft as a marshmallow and your mama fed you soy milk your whole life. This has no bearing on me. I'm a black man and I think it's racist, but who cares? I actually love fried chicken and this person is an idiot. It has no basis, no bearing on my life and what I'm going to do today or tomorrow. Matter of fact, I'm pretty sure there's another insurance company in the town that ain't no black people go to this place anyway. But the other insurance company that's probably on the black side of town, people will just start going to that place. And this letter has no bearing. I would love to hear from the callers, 844-900-7243, as to do you think that this affects or should have an effect on black people in America? Should they be offended and should there be reparations because somebody gave a sign on Juneteenth? Let me give a Juneteenth fact real quick while I'm rambling. Let me give a Juneteenth fact. I do not think that Juneteenth should be a federal holiday. And I don't think that people are celebrating Juneteenth with all of the facts. When you ask a person who haven't done hardly any research, and you say, what's significant about Juneteenth? They will tell you that that was the last black people left unnotified that they were free from slavery. That's what they're going to tell you in Galveston, Texas. This was the last group of people who were freed. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I hate to bust your bubble. That is not true. That is the watered down leftist narrative. The truth is, a year later, 1866. No, hold on. Is it 1866? Am I saying that right? Think. 1866. Yeah, I'm saying that right. A year later, 1866, after June 19th, the Choctaw Indians, who had slaves, in case you didn't know, white people weren't the only people that had slaves. Black people had slaves. And Native Americans, you know, the people that they say that we stole their country, they had slaves too. So the Choctaw Nation still had slaves, even after Juneteenth. Now, the true holiday should have been on the day that the Choctaw released their slaves. But, you know, it don't fit the narrative, white man bad, white man bad, white man bad. If there's any indication that Native American man bad, they don't want you to know the history. You listen to the Alex Tatum Show. Hold the phone. I'll be back after the break.
It's because you are a racist.
Brandon Tatum, unafraid to tell it like it is.
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to the Alex Tatum Show. I think I got a brother from another mother calling in. Wendell from Georgia, welcome to the Alex Tatum Show.
Thank you, sir. I love what you're doing.
I appreciate that, Wendell. So you love fried chicken, yes, too?
I love fried chicken. I love collard greens, turnip salad, buttermilk, cornbread, crackling cornbread, all that stuff. I like all the good food.
So, Wendell, I got a question for you. Do you like turkey necks?
Well, I don't really like turkey at all.
Hold on. I got another question for you. This is the real question. Do you like chitterlings? Chitlins. The pig intestines.
There you go. Chitlins. It's not chitterlings. Yes, sir.
Well, they're officially called chitterlings. I didn't know if you know the difference, but you like them, though, right?
Yeah, you know how you clean them?
I never clean them, but I watch them clean, and they smell like booty hole.
Well, they do. But you take your thumb, push in on the gut, and then you blow everything out.
You know what, Wendell? I'll let you do the cleaning. Let me know when they're cooked and prepared. So, but anyway,
I'm
man,
not
thank
cooking
you.
That stuff. I'm not well, cooking. Thank you. I'll eat it, but I'm not cooking it. Thank you,
well, thank
sir.
You. And keep thank you, Wendell, for coming on. Yeah, God bless you. Thank you so much. Some people may not know what chitlins are because we call them chitlins. Technically, they're pronounced chitterlings, but chitlins are pig intestines. And it's real big in the South. Like, people think it's a black thing, but it's like a Southern thing. But it's pig intestines. If people clean them right before you eat them, they really don't smell that bad. If you don't clean them good enough, they're intestines. So they stink. They smell like a sewer. Well, not even a sewer. They smell worse than that. But they taste good, though. If you clean them, cook them with the neck bone in there, you boil them with the neck bone in there. And my grandma will be putting all kind of other stuff in there. But then once you take them out of there and they're good to go, you put the hot sauce on it. Somebody help me. I remember I would eat chitlins so much I got a headache. Because you're not supposed to eat that much pork. Like your body not supposed to eat that much pork. I ate like 5 or 6 bowls of that, them chitlins because they were so good. But only the people in the South know that. But let me make this comment. Let me make this comment real quick. Ladies and gentlemen, black people aren't the only people that love soul food. Can I just say that? I don't know a white person don't like fried chicken. I don't know a white person don't like Kool-Aid, collard greens, neck bones, turkey necks, cornbread with the butter beans on them. I don't know a single white person don't like that too. You listen to the Offset Tatum Show. Hold the phone. I'll be back after the break.
That's how I roll.
Brandon Tatum, the left ain't seen nothing yet.
Superman. I think I said Superman. He said I'm super bad. And I'm super bad.
And you ain't black.
And I got my slippers. And they super bad. $90 off my slippers, ladies and gentlemen. Mike Lindell has done it again. Do you want to be super bad? You can be super bad with your my slippers on. My slippers were developed over 2 year period, or a little bit over 2 years to develop them. You can wear my slippers, indoors and outdoors as you please. They're made with MyPillow foam impact gel to help prevent fatigue, made with quality leather suede. So you ain't getting nothing cheap. I'm wearing them right now and I love them. I wear them every single day. They feel good on my feet. And I was quite surprised that they still can hold up and they're firm. At first I thought they were going to be flat as a pancake, but they're still holding up and I'm a big dude. If you want to get $90 off of the My Slippers, all you have to do is call 1-800-976-8379. Use promo code Brandon. Go to MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener square. Click on and use the promo code Brandon. You'll get the $90 off. This deal won't last long, so act now. Don't be a procrastinator. Let me get back to the subject at hand. I got a couple callers calling in, 844-900-7243. 844-900-7243. Ryan from Minneapolis. Welcome to the Officer Tatum Show.
Hey, Brandon. Okay, Christian nonviolence, buddy. We talked about it the other day, and I wanted to make a couple comments here today. Your shirt says, Jesus is Lord. You have it in the merch store. That phrase has significance throughout early church history. Christians used to say, Jesus is Lord, Christ is King, not Caesar. And that put a huge target on their back, and they opened themselves to all types of evil and violence. Yet, they lived by faith, proclaiming the name of Jesus, preaching the name of Jesus in the face of all sorts of violence towards them. They were not fighting back. They were not retaliating. They were not all about weapons and self-defense with weapons. And I think Martin Luther King Jr. had the same position. So I don't think you can just write off my position like you did last time and just start throwing off random Old Testament quotes or, Bible quotes that don't really. So that's my,
Ryan.
Point.
Okay, Ryan. Let's start from there. Okay, yeah. I got your point. Okay. I think you made a point. I don't necessarily agree with it, but I think you made a point. Now, we do serve Yahweh, our God, Father in heaven. Is that correct?
Yes, but there's a new.
Okay, is that no? Let me finish. Isn't that the same God, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending? Is the same God of David? Is the same God of Christ or the head of Christ? Is that correct?
Yes, but Jesus always says, "You have heard it was said, but I say to you," right? And he brings on a nuanced position in the New Testament, so you can't just say. Well, just because Yahweh allowed killing in the Old Testament, that Jesus should just allow it too. No, you have to address.
So you're saying that Jesus is telling us, this is what you're saying. Jesus is telling us that we shall not defend ourselves no matter what.
Well, you have to confront the verses in the New Testament where Jesus is talking about, I've heard, when it says, you've heard it say a tooth for a tooth, an eye for an eye. But I say to you, and he comes up with this really radical pacifist, nonviolent position where he's like, you got to turn the other cheek. You got to seek peace. You got to be a peacemaker in every situation when confronted with evil. So
I hear you.
So when you're in your home with your Jesus's Lord shirt, all right, let's say you have your Bible and somebody comes in and you're just going to shoot him rather than preach the name of Jesus. For me, I'm willing to die preaching the name of Jesus.
Right. Hold on. Time out. Okay. I see where you're coming from, but I think you're going a little too far with it. If I'm on the streets, right, and I see a person on the streets and they're angry or whatever the case may be, and I don't feel like they're going to kill me, I can preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. If somebody breaks in your house and you don't, just say you don't have time to talk to them or say anything. You're supposed to just say, I'm going to plead the blood of Jesus and you could just kill me and rape my family.
Let me give you an example. Okay, an intruder comes into a guy's house, right? He's thought this through. He immediately has a plan that if anybody ever enters their home, they're going to proclaim the name of Jesus really quickly. Jesus be here. Jesus come. In the name of Jesus, peace, right? Well, in a situation like that, there was actually a guy that did that, okay? And the person was, like, taken back, and he didn't pursue the evil that he was going to pursue in the home. Well, the police ended up catching the guy, and in open court, the guy thanked the homeowner and said, thank you so much for not being a person that's going to shoot me, but rather proclaim the name of Jesus, even if it costs you your own life, right?
Okay, now, Ryan, I'm trying to give you a point to make. You can't go too far on because I need to respond to you. We're on the radio, so I can't respond that long. I hear what you're saying. If you want to proclaim the name of Jesus as a person comes in your house with a gun ready to shoot you and rape your family, then you can proclaim the name of Jesus. That's your decision. If a person comes in my house with a gun, I'm going to use force against them. I pray for their soul, and I will pray for them that they go to heaven or whatever prayer I need to make. But I'm not going to put a prayer in between my life against another person. The Bible says faith without works is dead. I believe God is going to preserve my life, but I have to do something about it. I believe God is going to give me a. Let me give you an example. Remember the guy that went into the church in Texas and he was shooting people in the church? And the one guy in the back of the church pulled a gun out and shot the guy and ended the shootout. Do you think that was wrong?
Well, I mean, there's always going to be people that aren't going to, accept the teachings of Jesus, right?
No. Hold on. Is that wrong? Is that wrong that he shot the guy to prevent him from killing other people in the church?
Well, I don't know. I don't know where the guy was at with Jesus. I don't know his relationship with Jesus. I don't know who his position on that, right? Now, if it were me, I would try to do the best that I can to defend somebody, but it's not my right. I'm not going to take somebody else's life, right?
But you're going to let him kill. He's going to shoot everybody in the church, right? Is that what if a kid? What if a kid? What if a kid? Now let's do it like this. Let's say I was a Christian and I responded to the Uvalde shooting. Do I just keep praying in the hallway, or do I go in and take out the shooter?
Okay, but you have to make the distinction. There are people, you know, within Christian nonviolence movements that say that people who are devoted to the teachings of Jesus should not necessarily become police officers or military people, people that have to put themselves into positions where they have to kill somebody, right? God has this overriding grace to where people who aren't followers of Jesus can fulfill those roles and go out there and kill people. I mean, there's been whole movies about this type of stuff. The movie about the army guy that was a non-pacifist, you know, that,
okay,
you know,
it's not just a
small position that you can just write off.
Right, Ryan. Thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate your perspective. Do I need to go read my Bible? Because I ain't in no way in the world do I believe that if somebody's killing kids, that I'm supposed to just sit there and pray while he's blowing them away. Maybe I need to read my Bible. Listen to the Offset Show. Catch you after the break. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. The gentleman that called in, Ryan, I think he called in before. Christian pacifism, very interesting because, you know, every time somebody say something like that, it don't make me feel like that they're retarded or nothing. It makes me feel like that maybe I need to do the research so I can defend my position. There is no way in the world I think that, even based on scripture, that I think that Christians should be as passive as Ryan, or I don't forget his name now, that the caller was talking about. You know, when you talk about an eye for an eye, an eye for an eye is like revenge. That means that I'm going to kill you because you killed somebody else. Or I'm going to poke your eye out because you poked my eye out. Not that I'm going to preserve my family. I'm going to save their lives. I'm going to protect the lives of other people. Because, you know, I think Christianity would be eradicated if we didn't have any type of protection. And it's funny that Christian pacifism probably flourishes in the United States of America. That is 100% protected by people with guns and jets and nukes and everything else. You can easily talk about pacifism in the USA because this is the freest, most liberating places in the world. I don't know how you will make it as a Christian pacifist in some of these other places. Now, there's a difference between intentionally being a pacifist and being forced to be a pacifist. What does that mean, Mr. Tatum? You go to one of these communist countries, you don't have a gun. You have to be passive because they're going to kill you. In America, we don't live by those principles. Let me get some of the callers in. Jay from South Carolina, welcome to the Officer Tatum Show.
Hey, Officer Tatum, how are you this evening?
I'm doing well.
I'm going to tell you right now, that feller had me all tore up. I'll first and tell you, if anybody rolls up in my house, I'm just like you with trying to break in, they going to get a bullet between their eyes. You know, I'm going to protect my family and everything. I don't understand. I'm like you. I'm going to pray for the person after they're laying there bleeding, and I'm calling 911. So.
Yeah, Jay, I mean, can we pray for him as we're pulling the trigger? And can we pray that God raised him from the dead, if that's his will? Because, you know.
I mean, you know, I live by saying, to whom much is given, much is required, out of Luke 12:48. That is my favorite saying, but I'm going to tell you right now, I will not let anybody intimidate me or my family. I'm taking care of me and mine at first, and then guess what? They want some of me. They're going to understand. They're going to be pushing up daisies.
Amen. Jay, thank you so much for coming on the show. That's what I like to hear. You know, I don't know what I would – women, my daughter, don't marry a no Christian pacifist. Because if a man come punch you in the head, he ain't going to do nothing. Because his interpretation is God's will that another man punch you in the head. Let me explain the Christian pacifism just a little bit more. If you walk in and a man is raping your wife, Christian pacifism says that you should not put your hands on him. That's what pacifism says, right? Am I right? Or is it only death? Because just because you hit a person with a rock don't mean they die. Just because you shoot a person don't mean they'll die. So what is Christian pacifism really about? I may have another conversation with that guy, because it's just like people that say there should be no laws around drugs. There should be no – drugs should all be legal. I forget these people. What do they call themselves? I forget what they call themselves. Not crackheads, but it's a political affiliation. Like, you have conservatives, you have liberals, and then you have libertarians. That's what it is. Libertarians. And some libertarians believe there should be no laws. And that's not realistic. And then pacifist Christians mean you should never use force against anybody. That sounds stupider than five left shoes on a six-legged man. Let me bring somebody else in that's on that subject. Then we're going to get to the two people that were calling about Uvalde. Let me see. Let me look at the callers real quick. Okay, line four. That's Teresa, welcome to the Office Tatum Show.
Hi there. I want to share something with you from the Book of Mormon that Mormons have. Now, this man left this country because it was so evil. And so he was ordered to go back and get the genealogy, but this evil leader would not have it. He stole everything from him. When his sons came back from that assignment unsuccessfully, the father, Lehi, was given a dream where he was told better that an evil man die than have a whole nation go. So they were commanded to kill this man. This evil leader, the only way they could do it, he was a drunken, evil man. Only in his drunkenness could they have killed him. He was so evil. And that they successfully got their genealogy that was valuable to Mormons and the Israelites, and leave that place. They were ordered to. If I saw a crazy maniac in my home, you can kind of see, you can kind of look. These people are crazy with drugs sometimes. That's why they kill. I would have to stop them. There was no other way. I wouldn't want to shoot a thief, a teenager. I wouldn't want to shoot him. I may shoot the leg, but then I'd be sued, I'm sure. I couldn't shoot anyone if I was in the service. I'd have to be a medic. That's not my thing. But to have to be ordered by God, and that was by inspiration with a dream, when they're crazies trying to kill, you know, then it's out of sheer inspiration, sheer from a good place to save other people.
Thank you so much, Teresa. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. I'm not a Mormon, but I'll take your word for it. Let me, what is what I got here? You ready for it? Okay, so yeah, I appreciate the context. There has to be an explanation on this pacifism stuff. How far do you go? A man breaking your house with a gun, can you at least take the gun from him? You know what I'm saying? Well, can you at least fight him? I mean, like, what are you supposed to do? Just let him take advantage of you? Like Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile, which are charging you a premium fee every month for data that you do not use. My pitch to you is to stop paying for things that you do not use. Instead of paying $89 a month to your current provider, pay just $20 to PeerTalk for things that you actually need. I made the switch, and I'll be honest, I was nervous at first. I was wondering if we're going to get good coverage or is this a scam. But I tell you what, the iPhone 13 is chugging along just nicely, and the 5G service is off the chain just as good as I expected it to be. Switching to PeerTalk was super, super duper easy. Only way you'll know for yourself is if you tried. So listen, if you've been on the fence and you're wondering, should I keep getting ripped off by these other companies or should I join or at least give a try to PeerTalk, go ahead and take the leap of faith. Save money. It won't hurt you to save money. But all you have to do to take advantage of this is dial #250 and say Brandon Tatum, and you'll save an additional 50% off. That's half off of your first month. PeerTalk has a no-risk money-back guaranteed. So there's no way you can regret this. Dial #250 and say Brandon Tatum. Sign up today and get an additional 50% off your first month. Dial #250 and say Brandon Tatum.
Making a difference in this culture war.
Officer Tatum Show.
Welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show, ladies and gentlemen. I think I'll finish this on the subject of, should Christians be passive and allow people to pillage and rape you and do all kind of stuff to you while you pray for the Lord to save you? Let me just say this about spirituality. I think you got to put concept upon concept, precept upon precept, line upon line, and put that together to formulate what you think Jesus will have you to do. You know, I always use the scripture, faith without works is dead. Like, it is weird to me that somehow everything you do has to have a action to it, except Christian pacifism ideology, meaning that God is in nowhere, form or fashion, nor Jesus, have told you that faith alone is good. Faith without works is dead. Let me give you an example. If you tell the Lord, I want to be married, please, God, help me be married. God ain't finna drop a woman out of the ceiling of in your front living room. You have to be proactive. You have to do things to put yourself in a position that God can then give you what you asked him for. The Bible says, knock and it shall be. Jesus was telling his disciples, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Seek and you shall find. Ask is actions. He didn't say show up and pray and the door open for you. He said you knock first and then the door be open. You seek first and then you'll find. Christian pacifism sounds very weird because every single thing that Jesus calls you to do, except defending yourself. You're like, I don't want to die. I still have a mission. I still have people to save. You know, it's funny because there's a lot of people that are still alive today because they didn't just be passive. Is that God's will for you to continue to live? You know, I think that, you know, let me give y'all this story, and it's a mythical story, but it's a story they used to tell us growing up. You know, the flood comes and a guy's on land and people say, hey, man, you know, it's been a flood. And he's like, oh, God will save me. And then the person comes through in a truck. I'm making this up, by the way. I'm probably missing some stuff, but y'all can get the gist of it. A man comes through in a truck and a 4x4 truck and say, you know, hey, get in the truck, man. We got to beat the flood. No, God will save me. The water gets up to his chest. A guy comes in on a boat. Hey, man, you got to beat the flood. Nope. God will save me. He's going underwater, and he's literally about to drown. And a person comes in on a helicopter, and he says, no, God is going to save me. And then he dies. He gets to heaven. And he said, God, why didn't you save me? He said, I sent you a truck. I sent you a boat. I sent you a helicopter. Did you not get the point? I was trying to save you. It's the same thing about not being a Christian pacifist. God has given you rights to protect yourself according to the Constitution of the United States of America. He put you in this country under the laws of the land, and you shall abide by them. You're listening to the Officer Tatum Show. I'll catch y'all tomorrow. I'm out.
Unapologetically Christian and 100% real. Officer Tatum Show.
What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Thank you for joining this podcast. This podcast is brought to you by Good Ranchers. If you're interested, you want more information, go to goodranchers.com/Tatum to get more information.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.